commodity broker. Gordy Kulov with Chido Commodities joins us for the weekly Ag Market Recap. Gordy, thinking about where we started the week versus ending it, we really shook the tree with the meltdown fears with the Chinese economy. Our stock market got spooked and took us down pretty good, but we recovered.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of those deals where we'd mentioned the week before about this Evergrande and jitters in China. But apparently, you know, Monday it all kind of came to a head and it just beat everything up. But the reality is that, you know, the Chinese government's not going to let their economy falter and fail. They might let the foreign investors fizzle. And, you know, so it is a bit negative for the world market. But again, even $300 or $400 billion in the world marketplace is just a drop in the bucket. I mean, it's kind of not good if it's your money, but in general, it's not that big a deal. And I think once he realized the Chinese government was going to basically hang in there and not let the company absolutely fail, market got a little bit more confidence and came back fairly aggressively. I think the stock market will still be down a little bit for the week the way it looks, but, you know, not bad. And, the other news over the week was, again, kind of neutral. The Fed came up with the usual statement on Wednesday, and, these world central banks, everybody's kind of like, yeah, we know the party's got to end sometime, but it's not going to end tomorrow. And, right now, it seems like all the markets are kind of in this sort of uncertainty phase. You know, you have some people thinking inflation could be a real thing coming forward. Others are saying, no, I mean, if China slows down, inflation is gone. It's a dead issue. Others think, these central banks are going to keep on stimulating for a while. Others think they're almost done. So, I mean, there's a lot of uncertainty about the overall economic environment. And I think that's sort of translating a little bit into, all the other markets. But at the same time, the grains keep getting more good news, bad news. The crops look like they keep getting smaller, and harvest results are pouring in, and they're kind of peaking out at as good as a year ago, and they go downhill from there, and in some cases down a lot. Missy Bauer has an article over on AgWeb about the tar spot disease, and it's a pretty bad thing. I mean, yields losing 50% in some cases. There's sort of a stock rot issue with a lot of the corn. And she's talking about issues with it all the way up into Michigan. So it seems like it's a much bigger deal. And in her view, a lot of farmers aren't even aware they have it because the corn doesn't look a whole lot different. It's just the ears stop filling out, and they're just – it's a snapshot of where they were basically when they got the disease. So if Illinois, parts of Indiana, and Michigan have this thing, there's no way we got the government numbers coming up.
Well, that's providing maybe in the background uncertainty, and maybe that's why – the market is just, I mean, the volume is like it's Christmas Eve day.
It is. It's a very low volume. We finished corn with 82,000 plus, beans 59,000 on the nearby contract, and that's really, really light. And, you know, considering all the stuff that's going on, but at the same time this week, even with that knowledge, we're just not seeing export sales being announced anymore. I mean, we're not seeing daily announcements. And at the same time, you know, we're hearing stories that ethanol plants and, you know, feeders and whatnot are paying huge premiums over the futures to get their hands on grain right now. And yet, you know, their bids going forward are extremely low. So, I mean, everyone still thinks they're going to get a gift come harvest, but they're all scrambling to get their hands on crop. And according to USDA, as of last weekend, we had 10% of the corn and it was, 6% of the beans harvested. So in the case of corn, that's 1.4 billion bushels of corn's already been harvested, and the cash market's acting like we haven't even begun harvest yet. So, you know, this stuff is finding a home almost instantly, and either the farmer's storing it or it's going, to someplace. And, we're not seeing any sign that demand is abating. So good week of harvest coming up, and I think we're going to need that because we'll see what's actually out there. And then on Thursday, we get the stocks report. And as one analyst said this morning on Dow Jones, everyone expects a snoozer where they just basically repeat the carryout numbers from the September crop report. And it theoretically is a survey, and if they do a survey, you know, they could find some numbers way below what the market's looking for.
I saw a headline today about China. Some soybean crushing plants are shutting down in China because of electrical power shortages.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there are problems all over the place, and shipping is a real big deal. You know, coal is a problem. They do so much of their electricity with coal. And
they import a lot of that too, don't they, typically?
They do. And right now, I mean, like I said, the ports are just jammed up everywhere. So that may be part of the issue. And again, it's really hard to say, halfway across the country, what those stories actually are dealing with and how much of an issue it really is. But again, even if that's the case, you would think that would be a real big positive for things like bean oil and bean meal. If they can't crush the beans, you know, you'd think that would be a big boon for what's left. So we'll see how much of that is a really big deal. But, you know, it's definitely a thing. So, and again, some people were calling it a climate push that, you know, they're trying to make it seem like it's a deal with because they're trying to be more green. But basically, the bottom line is, you know, long term, it's more of an issue than the short term, I think. It doesn't sound like they're really having that much power. But in the short run, I mean, prices of everything are running up. And, you know, they have had some power curbs. So we'll see how much that goes. But the government over there is scrambling to make sure they get that done.
When you look at the charts, it was kind of just a ho-hum week for corn and beans then, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we started off with kind of a good hit, and then we bounced right back again. So we're kind of right back where we started from again last week. So, I mean, the grains really aren't making any real progress. They're just drifting. But what's interesting is by drifting up a little bit off those lows, we're kind of right close to some important moving averages. And the math is taking those averages down a little bit. So it doesn't feel like it would take a whole lot of move to give us a pump over those averages next week. So any kind of a bump turns us positive. And, you know, we get a report on Thursday. We get harvest numbers. So, I mean, it doesn't feel like it would take a whole lot. And in fact, just getting the funds to buy into the commodity side of things might just get us there. So the grains don't feel like there's a lot of downside right now. I mean, it feels like the funds aren't necessarily trying to pound this thing lower. They're just getting out of longs and shorts. And they got more longs and shorts on. So they're getting out of more of those. But at the same time, it does feel like there's some buyers underneath the market. And, you know, like today, we've had a couple times where they pushed them down. But every time they did, they find buyers there.
The livestock this last week.
Well, it's kind of the same sort of story. You look at cattle, and, you know, they had that big break, and now they're just kind of in hover mode. We've had the last couple of weeks, and they're forming actually kind of a triangular pennant where, you know, the highs are lower, the lows are higher, and we're just sort of drifting. And again, Monday, the cattle got whacked on, you know, when all the markets went down because of the stock market. They came back, but then yesterday we kind of peaked up and then sold off a little bit. So we're going to end the week a little ahead of where we closed. Deese cattle last week, they closed at 127.52. They're going to be at 128.15, just up a little bit. And, you know, it feels like the cattle are in sort of the same ballgame. They're trying to figure out where we go forward. You know, we've had a big break off the highs, but expectations were that, you know, prices are going to really rally substantially into spring with high-priced grain. But we've had relatively cheap grain all spring, or, you know, all summer. Hogs, on the other hand, just got the living daylights kicked out of them lately. You know, I mean, they went off the board at 109 on August, and you got these hogs at 76.80 and looking for a big break in the hog market. And yet this week, export sales were called very good. And so we had a real big pop on the hog market yesterday. You know, same difference. They had the big break on Monday, and then we kind of went sideways. And then yesterday, we had a real big spike up, and then we followed through a little bit today based on the export sales. Hog chart looks a whole lot better. In fact, it's actually a really rare event. It's a rounded bottom. If you look at a Deese hog chart, it's a rounded bottom. And those don't really happen very often. And supposedly, it's a really powerful tech chart. But they're kind of in the same ballgame like the grains are. Their highs are, you know, quite a chunk above. There's a key moving average between here and there. So, like I said, it's felt over the last couple of months like the hogs had some strength to them, and then they just kind of got whacked at the, you know, kind of early part of September. And my guess is they should have up. There was an article out in Bloomberg today about the Chinese appetite for pork and how it's driving pork prices higher worldwide. And again, I mentioned that this morning. You know, it's weird because, like, grain prices are going up all around the world, but they're going lower here. Pork prices are going up all around the world, and at least the future side of things are going lower here. So there's something weird going on with U.S. ag where somebody's trying to keep a lid on pricing here. But like I say, in the real world, prices are going higher. And I think, you know, if you have to kind of, you know, give the tiebreaker, worldwide prices going up means at some point we probably have to follow along.
Commodity broker Gordy Kolovets.